pronounce 58.
Page 107. So Mars usually, you can read the translation purport and give short commentary.
Short commentary.
Well, just
more. Prabuddhe jnana bhakti bhyam atman jnananda chinmayi udetyanutama bhaktir bhagavat premalakshana. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion, characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. Purport. Real knowledge is nothing but knowledge of one's relationship to the Absolute. Real knowledge is identical with the knowledge of subjective natures of chit, animate, achit, inanimate, and Krishna, and of all and of their mutual relationship. Here, mental speculation is not alluded to, since that is antagonistic towards service, bhakti. The knowledge that embraces only the first seven of the 10 basic principles, dashamula, is the knowledge of relationship. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his lotus feet, worshipping by rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. It is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Devotion bhakti, characterized by love for Godhead, makes her appearance by being awakened by such knowledge and practice. Such devotion is super excellent bhakti and is no other than the final object of attainment of all spiritual endeavor of the individual soul, jiva. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You're supposed to make a short comment on that? I'm supposed to make a short comment on that? This must be a very intense experience for you. I'm sorry, I don't know
Chris.
Chris. This is the first time you've kind of been here for this kind of... must be intense.
Yes, it is.
You know, in the Western world, those who are still, despite the bombardment of other propaganda, believers in God, the trend is away from that, in case you didn't notice. They say God is great, or they say God is love, or they have so many other kind of aphorisms to lull themselves into the false sense of security that they actually know something about God. But I don't know about you, but you know, I don't chant every week like you do all the verses, English and Sanskrit, of the Brahma Samhita. But it's just overwhelming, isn't it? The knowledge, the full, the complete understanding of not just some ephemeral idea, you know, of what the Supreme might be, but in great detail and comprehensive and deep understanding this book. This just this one book is only, you know, 62 verses. Knowledge. And what service is, what love is. Here it says, when the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion, characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. I mean, you could talk for years on this verse, what to speak of. But I'm just going to pick out one thing. God is love. What does that mean? Basically, it means nothing. Of course, we know that love exists, and we know that God is everything, or everything is coming from God, so therefore it's easy for us without knowledge to just kind of accept it and go along and follow blindly. But there's a deep theology behind this statement. In other words, the Brahma Samhita has described how the supreme primordial living being, Krishna, with his unlimited spiritual intelligence, supreme intelligence, is maintaining the spiritual atmosphere, and it gives the details of what it's like there. And then, by the transformations of his different energies, created this material world. And we are very tiny and covered by this energy. We become separated from the actual source of our existence, the source of everything around us that supports us and gives us all the things that we value in life. And just as the transformation of the external energy through the modes of goodness and passion and ignorance create the material world. In other words, there's three basic energies that through permutation and combination and transformation result in all of the forms that we see in the material world and interact with in the material world. So there are three energies in the spiritual world that interact to maintain all the forms and relationships and emotions and everything that go on in the spiritual world. So, you know, sattva, rajas, and tama. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. These are the three material energies which form the root of the forms that we see in this material world. And similarly, there are three energies that are the root of the forms in the spiritual world. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Ananda is another word for bhakti, actually. It is pleasure derived from the contact and the engagement of the spiritual senses with the transcendental senses of the Supreme Lord. And this is this love comes about in a very specific way. It is not just that we throw our hands in the air and say, "Oh, Krishna, I love you, I surrender," and that's it. In many of the major religions of the world today, that's kind of like their process. They get together and then they, when one comes to that state of, here it says, excited by means of, right? They get excited by means of their process, whatever it is, you know, chanting prayers and hymns and things, and then they get to a state of kind of excitation, and then they'll say, "Yes, I believe," or "Yes, I have seen the light," or "I'm born again," or "I'm this or I'm that." But really, if one wants to go into super excellent, here it's described, super excellent unalloyed devotion, I may have devotion, and I may even have devotion for God, but unless that love is characterized or stimulated by, or here it's described, excited by knowledge, then that devotion is not super excellent. It's not unalloyed. It's mixed with other things, material motivations, material fear, material attachment, so many things. So what's really happening here is that the realization of our eternal nature and the ability to taste true and super excellent love of God depends on our coming in contact with real knowledge and real ecstasy from the spiritual platform. And how do we know if one has achieved this? It's actually, according to this verse, somewhat quantifiable. One may say it's a subjective experience. It is a subjective experience. But simultaneously, it is checkable through the experience of other persons who have actually perceived and realized their love for Krishna, and they have symptoms. And the main symptom is given here. Of course, we could discuss this for a long, long time, but the characteristics given here is characterized, this super excellent unalloyed devotion is characterized by love for Godhead. By love for Godhead, by love of Krishna, by love of God. God has a form. It means when we see that form, we feel genuine affection. And as that genuine affection becomes manifested simultaneously, without separate endeavor, we feel less attracted to gratifying our senses for the gratification's sake. So these are the symptoms. It's not just that we hear them and just everything's automatic. We have to actually cultivate this knowledge. And I know I'm probably leaving everyone flat because there's so many things to say, and I've opened up so many doors that need to be gone through and looked into that room. And, you know, that's what hearing and chanting about Krishna is all about. It's unlimited. Knowledge about Krishna is unlimited, but just take it in a general sense that if you love someone, if you actually love someone, one of the tests of that love is that you want to know more and more about that person. And the more you know about that person, you know, the more you know how to behave with that person in such a way as to please them. The more you know about what their likes are, their dislikes are, the more you know about what they like to do, what they don't like to do, and the more you give them those things, then that love blossoms and it awakens. And the process is the same in loving devotional service to God. But because God is unlimited and we're so tiny, we're thinking it can't be done. And therefore we opt for some kind of speculative reasoning or some kind of speculative philosophy that says that God is everything, God is one, and the goal is to merge into God. We are God, I am God, everything is God. And this way we cop out, actually. We cop out. It's laziness. You can't be lazy spiritually and get into this book. So even if you aren't lazy, and even if you are getting into this book, you need to contact two things. cognition and service. You need to come in contact with the cognitive potency, the spiritual cognitive potency coming from Krishna. And you need to be touched by this ananda, by this affected by this love. That comes through the sangha. Sangha means the company of, or the association of someone who has it, whose love has actually been awakened for Krishna. Therefore, we are lovingly dependent on Krishna and on the persons who have actually come in contact with Krishna and who therefore carry this cognitive potency and this ecstasy. And through the sound vibration and through the company, the association of the spiritual master and the sadhus who are self-realized, we catch this, or these two potencies affect our hearts, and it excites us. It excites us, and we want to know more and more. This is the essence. This is what we're looking for. You know, faith. Everyone has faith, isn't it? Everyone has faith in something. There's no living entity who doesn't have faith in something. You know, we were walking back from the mailbox, me and Akruanath, and we stopped by and we saw this little worm, and he was hanging from what do you call it? It's like his saliva, you know. He had dropped from a tree, and if you measured the length of his body and where he dropped from, it means we would have had to have dropped, you know, like, I don't know, hundreds of feet in the air. You know, don't you have to have some kind of faith to drop yourself off a tree? You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet. The point being that every living being, no matter how insignificant they are, has faith. This is because every living being is actually a spiritual soul and has a spiritual body. All of us. So when that faith is that is actually the original consciousness of the soul, when that faith is filtered through the material body, whether it be a worm or it be a demigod or a human being like us, with all these unlimited different kinds of varieties of abilities and tendencies, and whatever. When that original affection for Krishna is filtered through the body, which is made of the modes of nature, it becomes faith in the mode of nature that is compatible with my particular combination of modes of nature. Isn't it? So if the modes of nature are elevated, if we are elevated by the prescribed method of living and acting according to these Vedic hymns, then the quality of our senses and the quality of our perception changes. We see through with purified senses and purified mind. That faith, that original love for Krishna, is filtered through more and more purified senses, and we become capable of hearing and receiving signals, pictures, even sounds from the spiritual world. And that happens through the medium of the soul, through the super soul that are in our heart. And when that excitation that comes from having contacted Krishna through the mercy of Krishna's pure devotees, when that excitation comes to a certain pitch, to a certain intensity, then that faith transforms and it transfers to Krishna from the modes of nature. Therefore, it says here, when this pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent, unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls. Therefore, we should really want to know more about Krishna. We should want to accept the process, the austerities and the lifestyle and everything that is being given to us. This is called sambandha gyan, the relationship, knowledge of the relationship that we have with this world and the relationship that this world and we have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or God. And with this impetus, we can serve. And as a result of that service, our original love for Krishna, which is now transformed into faith in something or other, becomes reinvested or reconnected to the senses of Krishna. And in that way, our lives become re-spiritualized. And then we can be happy. Then we can be happy. Because we know what we're doing. And we know why we're doing it. And we know what is actually our self-interest. I'd finished anyway. You can go on and on and on about this. Is like
Maharaj here, in the verse it says cognition and service. So cognition in this case, you were mentioning as knowledge when you were speaking on this. So when you say cognition, what does it specifically entail in our everyday life? Does that mean like reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly? Studying scriptures.
Well, that's the external manifestation of it, but what it's talking about really, it's talking about being connected to or coming in contact with the pure spiritual cognitive potency. That means chit, sat chit ananda. This God's form and all the forms of the spiritual world and the soul is actually made up of these three energies, just like our body is made of earth and water and fire and air and ether. Combination of those energies creates these forms. So the forms in the spiritual world are created by those three energies. Therefore, it means literally contact with Krishna, contact with Krishna's devotee who has awakened his love for Krishna. Through that contact, we become excited. The soul becomes excited. But it comes through externally, it comes through the deity and service to the deity and the knowledge that is contained in the Shastra. Is that something?
Any other suggestions? So one is service to the deity, one is
The nine processes of devotional service. It's interesting because in that purport, where were we again? I lost my place.
Page 73.
73.
107, sorry.
107?
Yes.
You notice in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it is specifically described in Bhaktisiddhanta, devotion characterized by love for Godhead. Oh, where is it? Oh, yeah. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his lotus feet, worshipping by rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. So try to understand how brilliantly Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. You know, there's a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela in which Srila Prabhupada describes what the Bhakti Lata Bij is, the seed of devotional service. And he describes it to be the instructions coming from the spiritual master through that line of disciplic succession to Krishna, when we follow those instructions, when we act according to those instructions, our love for Krishna awakens. It's the same thing as being described here. So I guess the point being, the essence of the point being, that we should do what we're doing in devotional service with this in the mind. We should keep this in the front of our minds, what the goal is. That's why I very much appreciate Vaishishika's, the way he structured your hearing and chanting, that you do this every Saturday. You read all these verses and hear them, both English and Sanskrit. It brings you in contact. It excites the soul. It stimulates the soul to want, to love Krishna. And if you do this regularly over a long period of time, there's another section of the Bhagavatam in the third canto when Kapila Dev is instructing his mother Devahuti, where Devahuti asks this question. I mean, I can understand how it is that the soul is different than the body. It's a little obvious. But when it comes to understanding the consciousness and intelligence and how they are merged together, this is way beyond me. I'm a simple woman. I can't understand these things. So how can I separate myself out from these subtle things, contaminated consciousness, you know, intelligence, subtle body? This, it seems way beyond my capacity. And then Kapila Dev, he acknowledged. Yes, he said, it's very difficult. He said, but it can be done by seriously hearing, chanting over a long period of time from the proper source, this Bhagavatam. So we know from our practical experience in this world that to achieve something, you know, like respectable or even more so, something wonderful, like to become the best at anything, you know, to be able to win a gold medal in the Olympics, or look at what a big deal it is in the Olympics, you know, but what do you have to do in order to qualify yourself to be the person who can jump over a bar, you know, higher than anybody else ever has by a quarter of an inch or an eighth of an inch? I mean, we question the validity of that accomplishment. But the point is, in principle, it requires that one dedicate one's whole life. So Prabhupada's making the point, if you're going to dedicate your whole life to jumping over a bar an eighth of an inch higher than anyone else has, why don't you give yourself, you know, an opportunity to develop love of God, which is the highest thing, which is the thing that is in all cultures in the history of the universe has always been the most lauded and most sought after and most universally accepted goal of life. Therefore, we should really try hard. We should try really hard. And if you try really hard, sincerely, even if you're not a scholar, even if you're not this or you're not that, then Krishna, being kind upon you in the heart, he will bestow upon you these energies. and you can understand. But you have to have come in contact with a liberated soul, and that's why, you know, when we read Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's words, we read Śrīla Prabhupāda's words, when we hear a sound of his voice, when we listen to his lectures, we become really enthused. And not that it stops there. There's a philosophy now circulating around, even in our movement, it's called Rithvik philosophy, where they come to the conclusion that this energy stops at Prabhupada, and he's the only guru, and anybody after that has to be, you know, no, it goes on. Anybody who is actually taking Śrīla Prabhupada's instruction seriously has had a realization and is tasting this and is excited by these energies, and whose lives are dedicated, you know, to devotional service and giving devotional service to others, you will get that same chit and ananda potency that is required for you to awaken your own bhakti. This is Krishna's system. It's not possible for it to be no longer current. It's eternal. I need direction.
The progress goes on.
The beat goes on. Whatever you say.
So in the sound books, we'll sing Kutila.
Page 38.
I need to have a little kit that I can carry all these things that you've put together, so I can stay connected. Kit me up. Kit me up. Can't. You hear my voice, how weak it is? I can barely talk, what the speaker's saying. Chanting those verses didn't